I was thrilled when I picked up the lectionary to see what the reading for this morning was, because roughly 4 days before I came back to work on Monday, I started thinking in more depth about things here. I tried to avoid that while I was on holiday for the first part. I couldn't help it, and it was in my times of prayer, and I felt certain things becoming clear to me, which were confirmed this week in my conversations with Suzanne and with Kathy and some other people over the course of the week. And the word for this morning is follow me. It's Jesus' invitation to follow him through 2018. It's that simple. Follow Jesus through 2018. That is the invitation. There's other things we could talk about in that reading, but I'm going to focus on follow me this morning. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit that this word would not just be my thoughts, but would be a living word through the Spirit to my brothers and sisters, to all of us, that you'd unite us, Lord, before you and help us to step out in faith, following you through this year in unity and in the power of the Spirit to the kingdom's advance and to the glory of Jesus and to our Heavenly Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of you who are familiar with social networking will know that following someone is a very popular thing now. But it's a very superficial following, isn't it? You link up and you just watch various bits of information about the person and you choose. You may or may not be influenced by what you see or hear. Some of you don't even know what I'm talking about, and frankly, it doesn't matter. You can Twitter, you can Facebook, you can Snapchat, you can Pinterest, you can do all these different ways of following people. But the convenient thing is it's at a distance. It doesn't demand really anything from the person following. But following Jesus is not like that. Following Jesus demands everything from us. Jesus tells us that if we want life, we have to lose a life, and so on and so forth. And the path of Jesus includes the path of the cross, which none of us particularly want to embrace, because we're human, and nobody wants to embrace suffering. And yet that's also part of the path. So I want to think about following. How do we follow somebody? Right, we're going to do a couple little practice runs. I want you, don't worry, I won't make it very demanding. I want you to follow my actions. I'm going to give you 3 actions. I would like you to mirror them back to me if you're willing to participate. Okay, you ready? Not very demanding. Ready to go. That's the first one. Okay, now all of you check. Have you got your right hand up? Okay, so the challenge was to follow me, or in this case, follow my action. You have to translate it to that, don't you? So my right hand's up. Well done. Okay, next one, ready? Now that was easier. Why was it easier? Because it's very similar to the first action, isn't it? Okay, ready? Okay, well done. You're doing very well. Right, we'll stop there. So just reflect for a moment. In order to follow those actions, what did you have to do? Watch. Watch with some focus. Watch with some intent. Watch with some level of concentration. We're going to do the similar thing, but this time we're going to do it only by verbal instruction with your eyes closed. So I'm going to speak out an instruction. You don't have to do it. I'd like you to try because I want you to use what I'm trying to explain through these actions. I want you to close your eyes. This isn't some kind of trance hypnotic thing. Don't panic. Close your eyes, and I'm going to give you an instruction, and I want to see if you can do it, okay? Put your right hand on top of your head. Okay. Put your left hand on your belly button. Now put your left hand on top of your head, your right hand on your belly button. Okay, thanks. Open your eyes. Now, how did you find that? Did you find that more demanding than watching, or did you find it easier than watching? Hands up, you found it easier. That's really interesting. Hands up, you found it the same. Hands up, you found it more difficult. Okay, that's fascinating. That's fascinating. Did you find with your eyes closed that you were focused even more carefully than perhaps the first exercise? Great, good. So following involves looking and listening, doesn't it? Is that right? So you'll see in the newsletter, I've written a little bit about this as well. Looking and listening. And if we are followers of Jesus, as Hebrews says, we fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Where is it? Let's see if I've written it down. Fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. What we're trying to do is make that our intent. So that means looking and it means listening as we go into each day and as we go through the day. Are you with me so far? Would you agree in principle? Yeah, right, okay. So the question is, why don't we do it? I'm going to put forward some thoughts. I think most of us here try to do it at least some of the time. I think that would be true for most, if not all of us. The first thought is that Jesus already has made it clear that he wants to be close to us as we walk through 2018. The whole story of Scripture is about God reaching out to us. Even in our Old Testament reading, who's speaking first? It's God reaching out to Samuel, isn't it? Samuel, Samuel. Okay? And he knows us by name. So the first thing you have to be absolutely confident about, convinced about, is that God wants to walk closely with you this year. That starts off in Genesis. That was the very Edenic plan, was that we would walk through the day in the joys of the garden with God, in an intimate relationship that was without any darkness, it was full of light, there was nothing hidden, and that's represented in nakedness. That's the relationship that we were invited into at creation. And then sin came into the world, and all that that brought was the masking and the breakdown and so on. But God persists all through Scripture in reaching out to us in a desire to walk with us. And I could go into the whole thing in depth. I'm going to speed the sermon, so I'm not going to do it this morning. But just think of the way that God reaches out to Abraham, makes a covenant with Abraham, and then you get the story of salvation, then reaching out to the people of Israel, rescuing them from the land, bringing them out, being in the center of the camp, then being in the center of the temple, and so on and so on and so on, all the promises made until Jesus comes. And then what does Jesus do? He comes from the glories of heaven to earth. He comes, he takes initiative, coming towards us. And my favorite story in the Bible, I've told you before, is Jesus' story of the prodigal son or the prodigal father, depending which way you look at it. The father is watching and waiting for the son, and when he sees the son, he takes the initiative. He runs out to the son. And what does he do? He embraces the son before the son gets a chance to say anything. The son's acceptance is not based on performance, is it? It's simply based on being close to the father. And my thesis, the more I lead and work in churches and serve churches, is the big problem with most Christians is they just don't believe this stuff. That we're not fully convinced of God's desire for us. We're not fully convinced and know in our souls the love that God has for us. That is the problem with Christians. That we don't fully believe the gospel. We don't actually know in our deepest soul that that's God's desire for us as an individual, as well as a community, as well as for the world. And because we don't have that conviction, it affects how we live out our discipleship. So I am praying the prayer that Paul says in Ephesians 3, may you be rooted and established in love. May we be a community rooted and established in love. And if we're in that place, then the fruit is the fruit of love. Yeah? With me so far? Right. So that's the first thing. Be confident that God wants and is drawing near to you. But there's a problem with that, because God is holy and God is light and we are yet to be fully made perfect. And so each of us falls short and we have sin in our lives. And when light comes in towards us, it shows up the darkness in us. One of the paradoxes of holy people is that the more they walk with Jesus, two things happen. One, we see from the outside a growing beauty and a growing fruitfulness in the kingdom. They see the fruit of the Spirit. But they experience the paradox of absolute confidence in the love of God and absolute and growing knowledge of their own fallenness. And therefore, they come to God and the rest of the world with humility because they know who they are. And so many of us struggle to go into that place of light with God. We're frightened of revealing our skeletons, our deepest things. We may be not even aware of some of the depth of sin in us. And as we approach God, as he's approaching us, I'm afraid that gets shown up. But that's actually a glorious thing. It's a glorious thing because God's inviting us into freedom. And as we make confession and as we work with the Holy Spirit's help and our brothers and sisters, then gradually we get more and more free. That's the path of discipleship, of one of increasing freedom. You let us run the race of perseverance. Let's throw off the sin that so easily entangles. Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. That's the invitation to us as we start this year. So what stops us is that all of us got different histories. We've got different family backgrounds, different cultural experiences. Some of them are godly and correct, and some of them are false. We have false beliefs, false understandings, and those shape how we live. They're like scripts that we follow. And one of the things that happens as we walk more closely with Jesus is that he challenges some of those scripts. He challenges some of those assumptions. Some of those deeply held convictions over time will be challenged by the presence of God through his word and through the Spirit, saying, is that actually correct? Is that actually the right way to see yourself? Is that the right way to see the world? That's part of discipleship. Some of you will be familiar with Rob Bell's teaching. If you don't know who I'm talking about, it doesn't matter. But he did a wonderful teaching, and it's called Dust. And it's all about how if a rabbi in Jesus' time and beyond, the next couple of centuries, called someone to follow them, then the idea was that the disciple would live with them. Really, if I wanted to help you the most, I need you to come and live with me. And I used to live in community. I lived in community for 8 years. And that's how I learned a lot about being a Christian. I learned from my brothers around me. Morning, noon, and night, and through the night. One time I was very ill. Through the night I was vomiting profusely, having had some off fish. And one of the brothers came through at 3 a.m, and all he did was he stood quietly with his hand on my shoulder as I vomited my guts out into the toilet. And I felt loved and supported by my brother. So living together and living a life together is the way we learn best from each other. And that's why we encourage people in small groups and fellowship groups. That's why we try and gather in different ways through the week. That's why church isn't just about Sunday. It's about a community living together as far as we can. I'm not saying we should all live in each other's houses, but that's how we learn, is spending time with God and with one another. So the idea of dust is that the rabbi was walking and that a good disciple would have the dust of his rabbi's feet upon his clothes because he was so closely following the rabbi. So you'll see in the newsletter what I've said is, what does it mean then to want to follow Jesus? How do we do that? Well, the key thing is prayer. If I didn't speak to my wife, our marriage wouldn't go very far, would it? But our relationship is expressed in more than just words, isn't it? It's expressed in lots of different ways. And that's true of our relationship with Jesus. But the key thing is, if we're serious about following Jesus, it begins at the moment you wake up in the morning. So this morning I woke up and I got up out of bed, went and made my cup of tea. Sometimes, and I did it this morning, I follow Dallas Willard's idea and I say to myself Psalm 23 and the Lord's Prayer before I even get out of bed. So that starts me. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall lack nothing today, and so on. Then I get out of bed and I go make my cup of tea, and then I grab my, Father Brian, close your ears. I'm not doing the Anglican office at the minute, but I'm doing another office. So the office is like a set prayer. So I do Bible readings and things like that, and I spend a wee bit of time in prayer. And then I go and have my shower or do some exercise and then shower. And then I get up and then I'm off into the day. And then as I go through the day, I'm talking to Jesus all the time. I was talking to Jesus walking from the house. I was talking to Jesus in there. I was talking to Jesus in there. When I come up and talk to you, sometimes I'm trying to talk to Jesus at the same time, I'm trying to listen to him at the same time. This person's talking to me. Lord, what do you want to say to them? And many of you know what I'm talking about because you do the same thing. But if you don't, I want to encourage you. That's what we mean about following in prayer. It's learning to do that, lifting everything to God and beginning to learn to hear him. And then scripture speaks to us. So getting into the Bible, and this is not to put pressure on you. It's just to say that's one of the ways God speaks to us. So if you want to hear God, one of the ways is get into the scripture. And that's, again, why we do it in community, because we find it hard to do it by ourselves. So get involved in a small group. You know, that's what all these things are for. It's simply to encourage us in that simple thing of following Jesus. If you follow somebody, Max, can I borrow you? Right, I want you just walk along there and I'm going to follow you, okay? Just watch me, I'm following Max. What happened there? What did you notice? Right, first thing is, did you notice I was walking the same direction? One of the problems in churches is if everyone in the church was truly following Jesus, a lot of the bumping and things that go wrong in churches wouldn't happen, would it? Imagine this, you've got Jesus walking along, right? And he's saying, follow me. But if we're not all following him, then we're not going in the same direction. It's not complex, is it really? Except it is, because we're not. So what happens is you've got someone following, then they wander off. They get someone else coming in, and then they bump into each other. Or you get someone, do you know what I'm trying to say? It's a mess. And that's called church. But people all over the place. But the invitation is to follow Jesus. And so the question is, Jesus, what are you saying to us as a church? I don't believe in the minister who goes up on the mountain and gets the revelation and comes down and tells you, this is what the Lord has said. I do think God speaks to us in eldership and leadership in the church, but I also expect him to speak to the church if we're listening. So what I'm trying to say is, the more that we individually seek to follow Jesus, the more likely it is that we can discern together what he's saying to us. But none of us can quite manage to follow him perfectly yet. The other thing is, did you notice when Max is walking, Betty said, I adjusted my pace. The reason for that was because I was pacing. I was trying to adjust how fast he was going. If we follow Jesus, then Jesus sets the pace. We don't set the pace for life. He sets the pace for life. So those of you who are stressed out and too busy, you have to ask the question, is that Jesus' lead for you in your life? And as a leader, I have to ask that question all the time. If I offer you a stressed out priest, I'm not serving anybody. And that's why I've got quite strong boundaries. Ian once said to me, he said, you're quite strong in your boundaries. And I said, I am. Because I learned the hard way and I went into depression in 2008 because I got it wrong. And I got absolutely stressed out. And I know what it is to do it wrong because I've done it. And I absolutely don't want to do it again. It didn't serve anybody. And it certainly didn't serve my family, who are obviously my first call. So the thing I'm trying to say is the pace of following is set by Jesus, not by us. And one of the things is if we're fixing our eyes on Jesus, he will show us the pace and the direction and everything. Another thing is when I followed Max, I made a choice. I gave up my independence. For a brief moment, Max, my independence was entirely dependent on following you. And that was my choice. I chose to follow you. And I followed him for this little distance here in my life, 2018, and I was dependent on Max. I was no longer independent, I was interdependent. I chose to follow Max. And that's the thing, we choose to follow Jesus day by day. As choices come to us, we can have a choice. Do I tell the truth or do I lie? Do I declare all my income to Inland Revenue, sorry, what do you call it here, tax office, or not? When I find the money, I found $50 outside the church. Do I keep it for myself or do I give it to the treasurer? I'm telling you this because I gave it to the treasurer. It's the daily choices. But you give up independence, but we are invited in creation into interdependence. And as you're going along walking with Jesus, he might point things out and say, have a look at that. Or he might stop and say, let's consider this. Have you ever walked out at night and looked up at the stars and just been blown away? Have you ever done that? I always think about Abraham when I see the stars. Two nights ago, I came out of the car late at night and I looked up and it was quite breathtaking. And I thought, those are the stars that Abraham saw and the promises that God said. And you think, it's quite extraordinary, isn't it? And I felt God say, yeah, it is. It is pretty amazing, isn't it? Yeah, it is. You're just amazing, God. How did you do that? And actually, here's the irony. I always find it paradoxical that people think being Christian is boring. I mean, God help us. I'll tell you this. Someone who says being Christian is boring clearly isn't following Jesus. It's that simple. The one thing about being a Christian I can say is it's not boring. It's demanding. It's hard. It can be extremely painful. It's very challenging. It's also wonderful and joyful and exciting. It calls everything out of us at times. So he calls us into the adventure of faith. So, God is already committed to being near to you. Are you going to be near to him? Psalm 34:18, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. So this morning, if you're brokenhearted, if you're crushed in spirit, the Lord is near to you. Psalm 145, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. God promises that as we call out to him, he's near to us. Hebrews 10:22, if we are aware of sin, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And then, of course, in John and his letters, he emphasizes again and again that as we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God and with one another. If we confess our sins, 1 John 1:9, he is faithful and just. He will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Matthew 11, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you more work and performance indicators. And a plan? No, I'll give you rest. So, 2018, what a year it's going to be, eh? I don't know how it's going to play out. But I do know that if each of us, as far as we can, seek to follow Jesus, when we get to the end of the year, we can look back and say, we've been faithful. And the outcomes of what following Jesus mean is ultimately down to him. It's his responsibility ultimately. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the invitation to follow you. We thank you that you are committed to us in every way, gave everything for us upon the cross, and invite us into that beautiful, close relationship that you want to walk with us. Lord, we want to be a people who walk with you. I think we want to be people who walk with you. So by your Spirit, help us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.